beginning in Genesis chapter 5, reading verses 1 through 5. This is the word of the Lord. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 through 49. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there also is a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man Adam became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. For the first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. And finally, Luke chapter 3, verses 23 through 38. Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son, as was supposed, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janai, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Maath, the son of Mattathias, the son of Simein, the son of Josech, the son of Joda, the son of Joanan, the son of Resa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adi, the son of Kosam, the son of El-Madam, the son of Ur, the son of Joshua, the son of Eliezer, the son of Jorim, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Meli, the son of Minah, the son of Mattatha, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salah, the son of Nashon, the son of Aminadab, the son of Admin, the son of Arni, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arpaksad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. This is the word of the Lord. Your salvation depends upon the genealogy of Jesus. Your salvation depends upon the genealogy of Christ. It is written in Luke's gospel for you. It is written for your assurance about the things that have taken place in Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? According to the genealogy of Jesus in Luke's gospel, Jesus is the son of Adam. And Jesus is not only the son of Adam, he is the son of God. Jesus is the son of Adam, and Jesus is the son of God. What does it mean that Jesus is the son of Adam? It means that he was descended from Adam. That he was descended from Adam according to the flesh. Jesus possessed a human nature. Jesus possessed a true human nature. He was fully man. In the language of our catechism, he took to himself a true body and a reasonable soul. Body and soul. Jesus was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and he was born of her. Jesus was a man. Jesus was fully man. He was like us in every respect, yet without sin. Jesus is the son of Adam. The genealogy of Jesus reveals that the Christ was descended from Adam according to the flesh. And so Jesus was the son of Adam. And Jesus is the son of God. What does it mean that Jesus is the son of God? Now, before we answer that question, we need to recognize what the genealogy of Jesus actually says. In Luke chapter 3, in the genealogy of Jesus, It does not say that Jesus is the Son of God. Is he the Son of God? Yes, he is the Son of God. That is absolutely true. What did we hear in his baptism? We heard a voice from heaven declaring, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Jesus is the Son of God. He is the eternal Son of God. He is fully man, and he is also fully God. He did not descend from Adam through the ordinary means of generation. He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Emmanuel. Jesus is God with us. The Word become flesh. The one through whom and for whom are all things. The one to whom belongs all glory and honor and praise. Jesus is the Son of God. But it is important for us to recognize that in the genealogy of Jesus, it does not speak of Jesus as the Son of God according to his divine nature. For in the genealogy of Christ, it is another who is revealed to be the Son of God. In the genealogy of Christ, it is Adam who is called the Son of God. What does that mean? What does it mean for the man Adam to be the Son of God? We know that Adam is not the physical offspring of God. In Genesis, Adam is formed from the dust. And God breathes in him the breath of life. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, "And the man became a living being." Adam became a living being by the breath of God. Adam was unique among all God's creation. Adam was distinct from all God's creation. He did not evolve from a lower species to a higher species. There was something about Adam that distinguished him from the rest of creation. There was something about Adam that distinguished him, that set him apart from all the animals. Adam alone was the Son of God among all God's creatures. But why? Why was Adam the Son of God? What was it about Adam that distinguished him as the Son of God? What is it that makes the eternal Son of God the Son of God? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, "The Son of God is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power." To be the Son of God is to be the image of God. To be the Son of God is to be the image of God. And so it is that Adam was created in the image of God. Adam was unique among all the creatures which God made. For Adam alone was created in God's image. Adam was not created with the image of God, but in a creaturely way, he resembled the eternal Son of God. In a creaturely way, Adam was the image of God. And so, Adam is the Son of God. The Son of God is the image of God. And so Adam, created in the image of God, is his Son, reflecting in a creaturely way what is and was and will be true for all eternity of the eternal Son of God. The Gospel according to Luke is concerned with the identity of Jesus as the Son of God. It is concerned with the identity of Jesus as the Son of God according to his divine nature, but also according to his human nature. The Gospel according to Luke is concerned with the identity of Jesus as the Son of God according to his human nature, according to that human nature received from Adam. Remember what we said about Jesus' baptism. In his baptism, Jesus is declared to be the Son of God. But Jesus did not need this declaration of sonship. Jesus was and is and ever will be the Son of God. He did not need such a declaration. Why then did he receive it? But why was he being baptized in the first place? Why did he become man in the first place? Not because of anything he lacked, but because of what you lacked. He became a man for you. He was baptized for you, that he might be united to you, that he might become obedient for you, that he might suffer death for you, that he might be raised for you. Jesus' baptism in water was a picture of that greater baptism to come, the baptism of his death and resurrection. And so what happens after Jesus' baptism? The declaration, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." It was a sign of what Jesus would receive for you through his death and resurrection. A declaration of righteousness from God. A declaration of sonship by God. In his death and resurrection, Jesus was declared righteous for you, that you might also be declared righteous in him. In his death and resurrection, Jesus was declared the Son of God for you, that you might become sons of God in him. This is why it was necessary that the Christ be a man, so that he might receive these things for you in your likeness, so that you might be conformed to his likeness. And this is why it was necessary that Jesus be the Son of God, not only according to his divine nature, but also according to his human nature. For the Son of God is the image of God. But there is something else significant about the Son of God. The Son of God shares that image with his children. Not only is the Son of God the image of God, but he shares that image with his offspring. Consider again Genesis chapter 5. In verse 1, what do we read? When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. And then in verse 3, what do we read? Adam fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image. Adam, the Son of God, made in the likeness and image of God, he communicates that image to his offspring. Seth is begotten in the image and likeness of Adam. And so Seth is begotten in the image and likeness of God. But there is a problem. There is a problem. For Adam, as the Son of God, he does not only communicate the image of God to his offspring, but he also communicates what he has gained for them as God's Son. And what is that? Adam, the Son of God, created in the image of God, what does he gain for his offspring? What is the refrain throughout the genealogy of Adam in Genesis chapter 5? What is said of all his children? That they lived and that they died. Adam, the Son of God, made in the image of God, he leaves to all his children the inheritance of death. In Adam, all die. But in Christ, all live. For in Jesus, you have a second Adam. In Jesus, you have the last Adam. And just as Adam became a living being, the last Adam has become a life-giving spirit. There are two Adams in Scripture. There are two sons of God in Scripture. Both are created in the image of God. Both communicate that image to their offspring. On account of his disobedience, the first Adam communicates death. The first Adam gives death to his offspring. The first Adam has given death to you. But on account of his obedience, the last Adam gives life to his offspring. The last Adam gives life to you. On account of his obedience unto death, and through his resurrection from the dead, Jesus, the Christ, the Son of Adam, the Son of God, has become a life-giving spirit. He has been raised the glorious image of God. never to die again. He has been raised the glorious image of God, perfectly to reflect the glory of God to all eternity. And that is an image which He gives to you, His children. For by faith in Him you are His children. By faith in Him you are His offspring. Born not according to the will of man, but according to the will of God. Begotten of His Spirit. Born again in His image. Born again after His likeness. Jesus is the Son of Adam. Jesus is the Son of God. He became like you so that you might become like Him. That just as you have borne the image of the man of dust, so also you may bear the image of the man of heaven, so that you might be raised in His likeness, so that you might be raised after His image. Christ became like you so that you might become like Him. And so Christ, the life-giving Spirit, has given you His Spirit so that you may be like Him. So be like Him. He became like you so that you might become like Him. He has given you His Spirit so that you might become like Him, that you might be conformed to His image. So be like Him. You live by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. What does it mean to be created in the image of Christ? What does it mean to be conformed to His likeness? It means to bear the fruit of His Spirit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? What is the inheritance of the Spirit? It is not the inheritance of Adam, the inheritance of death, to be conceded. To think highly of yourself. To provoke one another, to envy one another, it is love. It is joy. It is peace. It is patience. It is kindness. It is goodness. It is faithfulness. It is gentleness. It is self-control. These things are yours in Jesus Christ. Christ, raised from the dead, has become the life-giving Spirit. And from Him you have received His Spirit with all its fruit. People of God, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ, the Son of Adam, the Son of God, became like you so that you might become like Him. So be like Him. Be like Him now. For you will be like Him always. To Him be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray.